I don't think that in the current state of this church and state of the world, the time that we find ourselves in, there's a more relevant hymn in principle than this hymn. And I praise God for that message from Brother Jake. That was a blessing. But brethren, one of the best ways to stay away from indulging in creature comforts or relying or leaning upon creature comforts as opposed to the Lord is to watch. To watch. And I believe I could give a whole sermon, preach for a while. But I really want to encourage us to watch. I want everyone to recognize that the Lord has given us an open door. A miracle. Our existence and all the fruit, the eternal fruit, the labor in the Lord that will not be taken away from us. He's given us this open door. He's given us a little bit of daylight. He's given us a little strength. Let's not lose what we've got. Let's keep watching. Our bodies, our souls are so sluggardly and inclined to apathy and inclined to lukewarmness. Let's watch. Like Martin Luther's famous quote about how that when he was most busy, he prayed for 3 hours. When most would say, Martin Luther, you need to pray a little less today because you've got more to do. But the more busy he was, the more he watched unto prayer. And the Lord's at work. I must work the works of my Father while it is still day. The night cometh when no man works. And trust me, the door will be shut for preaching the gospel in this nation. Sooner than later. I don't know how soon. And the door will be shut for us winning souls. God will shut the ark. And there's not going to be any more people saved when He stops saving. But He's saving souls right now. He's just giving us a continual stream of sinners. Let's save them. And then He'll give us more. And the more work we do, the more work He'll give us to do. Like George Whitfield said, that I have found the more that I would do, the more that I do, the more that I would do.
I want a principle within, a watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. From thee that I no more may stray, no more thy goodness grieve. Grant me a childlike faith, I pray, a tender conscience give. Quick as the focus of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The burden from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. Oh, may the least omission pain my reawakened soul, oh, and drive me to that grace again which makes the wounded whole.
Let's turn to Luke 9, Luke 8. Joy was reading an excerpt from a book about the Moravians the other day. Apparently they had night watches consistently just to mortify their vile bodies of death that they knew were prone to sloth. And that was on top of their 24/7 prayer meeting for 100 years straight. They were having night watch. In a matter of about 25 years, they had over 200 missionaries. At least 200 missionaries around the world. Preaching in different places that even the established churches hadn't gotten to, this little community of Christians in Hernhut, in Moravia. And it all started with prayer and watching. That's what I want to be. Let's pray. Let's watch. We're in a time where many people are falling asleep. Many people are going to be found watching. Jesus said in a time like this in Mark 13, in light of the worldwide tragedy of the end times that's coming upon the whole world, the delusions. He said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Watch yourselves. Watch for your brethren. Watch." I want a principle within of godly, watchful fear. That's what we need. We need to watch with all of our hearts. We need to watch through the nights. We need to watch for our brethren. We need to pray more. If the Lord's going to do more works, then we're going to be destroyed. Let's keep watching. And not fall asleep. And not be found wanting when the day of the Lord comes and the day of adversity comes. And faint. Because we will if we're not watching. If we're not aware of it. The thief is going to break in and destroy us. But if we're watching, we won't be found unaware. We'll be ready. We'll be ready. We can overcome the world through Jesus Christ. And all the world is coming. It's collapsing in like a flood against the people of God. We're trying to make a stand. We got the godly man ceasing, the faithful faring among the children men on every side. Let's stand. But we got to watch. Like Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run." This is how my Christianity works. "Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body." I'm watching my body. I'm watching myself. I'm keeping myself in the love of God, present, purpose, with all of my heart. "Not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway." He's watching. Watch. As we're commanded to do in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, "Be sober. Be vigilant, brethren. Be sober. Be grave. Be real. Be vigilant, brethren. Watchful. Circumspect. Watching the back side, the left side, the right side. Every side. Watching your brothers, your sisters. Watching for the world that's asleep right now. When all hell is being let loose and unleashed upon this world, everyone's just sleeping. All the foolish virgins are sleeping. Even the wise virgins were asleep. And there's been a cry mounted up. And I believe we've heard that cry. But keep hearing it. Don't fall asleep or you're going to miss the glory of God. You're going to miss all the works prepared in Christ Jesus prepared before you. And you are going to put yourself in danger of the eternal destruction of God. Because of our sloth or sluggardliness, particularly spiritually. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He doesn't sleep, brethren. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith," by watching, by staying awake, alert, alive, filled with the Holy Ghost, full of grace, full of power, exhorting one another. Don't fall asleep, brethren. And it's hard. It's hard. Everything in our being, every inclination in us, just wants to fall asleep. All the powers of hell, they're like demons that come and try to put us to sleep. But watch, pray, sing, fast. Deny yourself. Exhort each other. Let's watch ourselves. Lest we be found wanting on the day of judgment in all of our labor and all of our work and all that we've done thus far and the narrow way that we've traveled thus far by the grace of God be in vain. How terrible that you've tasted of the heavenly gift. You've tasted of the good word of God. You've tasted of the world to come. You have, brethren, you have. You've found the Lord to be good. He has shown Himself good in your lives personally. You've found that Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Word of God and His Spirit quickening that Word tells me so. You found it. How terrible then at the end of the day if you were found wanting. And He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity." Because He will say that. If you go back, He will forget that He ever knew you. Like it says in Ezekiel, when a righteous man He's not righteous but by the grace of God. Turneth from his righteousness, I'll send him a stumbling block. And he does not repent, and I will cut him off. And all of his righteousness will be forgotten. Let's keep going. But we are not of them that go back to perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. But we are persuaded better things of you, brethren, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unright to forget your work and labor of love, all that you've done thus far, all the trials, all the well-doing, all the good works, all the holiness, righteousness, all the suffering. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've showed toward his name, and that you've ministered to his saints and do minister, and that you've worked out your salvation thus far with fear and trembling, and you've started a good race. You run a good race, but let's keep going. Let's not finish now, brethren. Push ourselves. Watch. In a football game, you're bound to get hurt if you're not going hard. It's always the guys that are just taking it easy out there on the battlefield in the football game. I'm sure it's the same thing in war. I'm sure it's the same thing in other sports that get hurt. It's the ones that go with the reckless abandon that normally are doing the hurting. So I'm asking y'all, all of y'all, to run. Let's push each other. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the counsel of his friends. Let's pick up the pace. And it starts with prayer, because without him we can do nothing. But it's through that facet of prayer that we call down his grace, that he sheds abroad power upon us to do what is in his heart for us to do. And that is to evangelize this world. That is to fight a good fight, to finish our course, to keep the faith, and therein to be laid up a crown of righteousness. Upon our breathing our last in this body of death and going on to glory in one moment, one breath away, brother. Just run. As long as he gives you a breath, he holds it. As long as it's still pumping that heart, just keep going. Run, pray, watch, ask. Discipline yourself. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Sober. And watch under prayer. Sober, real, understanding your own weakness and your own inclination to fall asleep. And avoid it. Have no confidence in your flesh. Do what you need to do to stay awake, to stay alive spiritually, to stay your conversation in heaven by the grace of God. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation Jesus Christ. Don't be like Peter and John in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he continually pled with them to watch with me. Watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, my brethren, my friends. And they just kept falling asleep. They just couldn't stay awake. They just wouldn't watch and pray. They just had too much confidence in their own flesh. Oh Lord, I'll follow thee not only to prison, I'll follow you even unto death, Peter said. And then the going got tough, and the tough got fleeing, because he wasn't watching. And so therefore he wasn't kept by the infinite power of God through faith, because he wasn't using the means within time to keep his body under subjection to the Spirit of God. The Spirit is willing, brethren. I believe that for everyone in this room, except for a couple. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch, therefore. Give yourselves unto prayer. This I say, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. Whatever you need to do, brethren, whatever you need to do, keep yourselves in the love of God, praying always in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Just like in Judges chapter 7, remember when the Lord was trying to muster up his army, his 300 faithful out of 32,000. He cast away everyone that put their head down and they just kept drinking. They just kept indulging themselves. And the only 300 he kept were the ones that were watching. They were alert. They were keeping their body under subjection, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. They were watching the enemy. They were watching for their own selves to betray, possibly betray their people. They were watching on this side, on that side, over here. The devil couldn't touch him. The devil doesn't sleep or slumber. Well, brethren, God doesn't either. By the grace of God, we've got a whole body of Christ. Let's not sleep or slumber. Let's have people praying all the time. Fighting, watching. out for each other and everybody in the church, and for this world even. What mustered up this exhortation I was reading today in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 9, verse 28, about the Mount of Transfiguration. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, and by praying he was watching, he was staying sober, staying full of grace, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Let this not be our case. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. It wasn't enough for Jesus to be watching. Everyone had to watch. They were with the man that was watching, and they were utterly dumbfounded by the glory of God. They missed the glory of God. It's not enough just to have Sean Morse watching or to have Jake Gardner watching. Everybody in the church has got to watch. It's not enough to have your husbands watching and praying and fighting and running with all of their might. As much as life and every single person, the least to the greatest, let's watch. To the extent that God gives us grace to watch, use that means to stay sober and vigilant. Don't let the devil have place. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him, when they were asleep, they didn't see his glory. They weren't recognizing the visitation of God. They weren't recognizing his day. They weren't recognizing his works that he was doing at that time. They couldn't see clearly. They were asleep. They were numb to spiritual things. They were numb to the truth. And you're not going to perceive God. That's what happens in many of these meetings when we're falling asleep spiritually. We're so sluggardly, we can't perceive the presence of God and everyone else perceiving it. And we just feel like a log on our head, falling asleep. I know it happens, brother. It happens to me as much as anybody in this room. And we've got to fight against it. We can't excuse it. Truly. The Lord is merciful. He's been merciful. But let's not tempt the Lord. Let's watch ourselves. Do what is necessary. For yourself. Ask your brother to help you. Set your alarm clock. Ask many brothers. Make them keep you accountable. Do anything that you need to do to stay upon Jehovah and to keep yourself in His Spirit, in His love. When they were awake, they saw His glory and the two men that stood with Him. And it came to pass, as they departed from Him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for Thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said, because he'd been sleeping for too long. In the multitude of words that wanteth not sin, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, but a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. And Peter's talking when he ought not to be talking, because he was sleeping so long, he was just numb to the Spirit of God. It all started because he was sleeping. Just like he was sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, if we're not watching, be careful. Don't think you're any better than betraying your own Lord, and to deny Him, and so am I. Capable of doing it. Let's watch. What's sad is that many times when we're on the battlefield and we're in prison for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're on the battlefield up in Missouri and fighting off all the powers of hell, we're watching. And then we get back in the sheepfold and we have a little bit of haven of rest, or so to speak. And then we get a little bit too much rest and we start sleeping. And we don't take it seriously. And we don't fight. We're holding the baggage right now and someone needs to do it. We got people all over the country. We need to watch. We need to be praying. Lest we be found wanting when God allows the authorities to come and destroy us and smite the shepherd. What are you going to do? If you're in the Spirit, you're not going to have one bit of fear, one whimper of doubt, of hesitation. You'll have a quickness of understanding of the fear of God. You'll know what to do. You'll be prepared for anything and nothing that the enemy can do can will any wise hurt you. But if you're not watching, you're going to be dumbfounded. You're going to deny the Lord and you're going to like run and scatter upon the hills. Just like when Jesus got smote and got taken away. And God finally allowed the evil day to come. He allowed the darkness to come. Before that, there was a time of day. But right now, we do have some daylight in the tunnel. I believe there's more souls that need to be saved. There's more righteousness that needs to be wrought. There's more missions that need to be founded. Let's watch. Let's run. Let's stay with the Lord as fast as He's going. He's starting to run. The pace is quickening up, no doubt about it. Stay with him by his grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 9. Don't be like Eutychus. As Paul was preaching, he was preaching until midnight. He probably been preaching for 5 or 6 hours for a long time. He fell asleep and fell off of a 3-story building and he died. He died. He was probably like much of us in prayer meetings and in the solemn assemblies. We're falling asleep. It's a good thing we're not up in a 3-story building. Don't be like Eutychus. In Proverbs, verse 13 of chapter 20. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty physically or spiritually. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Bread which strengtheneth man's heart. And your heart will be strengthened. You'll be able to run so much faster. You'll have so much more courage. You'll be able to be more fruitful for the Lord, for the people of God. You'll be more joyful and happy. Truly. But if you have your eyes shut, then you won't get bread. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man, void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone was thereof, was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travails, and thy want as an armed man. Oh, brethren, I don't know how I'm alive today, because this has happened to me so many times with the vines and the poison ivy and the thorns and the thistles have grown up and the nettles have surrounded me, and I'm just wrapped up, I'm choked up, I can't do the will of God. And it's because I made a little compromise here and I didn't do judgment when God wanted me to judge. A little compromise here and I didn't do righteousness. At all times that God wanted to do righteousness. And before you know it, it's stacked up and I've got all these things to do. And then I'm supposed to be preaching and I can't do anything. I just like fall over. Because I got thorns all over my legs and nettles surrounding me. Because I just take it easy a little bit. I just didn't do it. God wanted me to share with this person. God wanted me to call this family. God wanted me to start watching at this time of night, etc. Stay on top of it. Be diligent. And watch. And watch. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. The Word of God's not going to be quickened. The Word of God's not going to be coming alive. You're going to have trouble reading the Word of God. When I'm struggling with sloth, particularly physically and or spiritually, and they go together much of the time, the Word of God, I can't barely muster it up. I can't barely like digest it. I have to start reading all these extra biblical books, truly. Because I'm so dead, spiritually. And it's just because I started slacking. Judge, blessed is the man that doeth righteousness at all times. And blessed are they that keep judgment. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You might make it, not being diligent, not being watchful and vigilant to the extent that you should be. You might make it, but it's going to be a thornier way. And I've embraced that thornier way. I think my way has been much thornier than some others that I've been walking with for years. Truly, you might make it, but it's going to be a hedge of thorns. If you're not keeping a watch, it's going to be a lot harder. But the way of the righteous is made plain. It's open. It's like all the thorns and nails are just being cut before you. And God's just leading you in a plain path because of your enemies. And it's just smooth sailing to an extent compared to the man that's got all the thorns in the way. Because he's procrastinating the will of God all the time. Though he's not turning back so many times, I'm not doing the will of God. I just won't go forward and trust the Lord until the very last moment, right before I'm smitten. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he's merciful and long-suffering. And it normally happens, and then the Lord gives grace after that. And sometimes I'm on top of it, but don't learn the way that I've had to learn. It's painful. Just obey when God is telling you to do something. Quick, diligently. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Oh, how true that is. How true that is. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. When he can, when it's daytime, when it's still harvest time. But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. I don't want to be a son that causeth shame. Proverbs 12:27. And Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And what if that's God sending you? It's vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. I don't want to be that to the Lord. I want to be a sweet savor of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a blessed, pleasing offering before His throne. Not vinegar to the eyes, smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. And again in Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Lastly, if you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, peace, peace, and there's no peace, always happens right before judgment, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation, the breastplate of faith and love of believing. Believing God is working all things together for His good. Believing that He is, and He is a reward of them who diligently seek Him. Of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation, that this is bringing us into Christ's likeness, that this is working for His purposes. The hope of salvation, this is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Whether we're alive physically, or whether we sleep, whether we die like Stephen, it says that he fell asleep. That's what it talks about for death for a Christian. It's not even death, it's sleep. Go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And all of your toils and all of your labors and all of your snares that you went through and all of your scars are your glory. That is going to be what you rejoice in for all of eternity, that you are worthy to suffer for the Lord, because there will be no more suffering then. There will be no more tears then. There will be no more problems. There will be no more pain. There will be no more reproach, brethren. Then. But until then, God forbid that we should glory, save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But until then, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Until then, whether we be sober, it is for your cause, or whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. If he died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto Him that died for them. Lastly, brethren, an example of watching in the early church. If you'll turn to Matthew 24. Now again, prophecy is not a black or white, easy thing. It's not just something that was just applied to the Christians then, and it's not just something that's applied to us now. These prophecies can apply to generations throughout history. Truly, they have different applications as the Spirit of God leads, and they're all pure to them that are pure. And so in Thessalonians, when it talks about God still sending them a strong delusion, that received God a love for the truth, they all might be damned, that had pleasure in unrighteousness, it had a legitimate application to the Thessalonic church of that day. And it has a legitimate application in our day as the Spirit applies it and quickeneth all things and gives us eyes to see. And when he's talking about the judgment coming at the last day and that the day of the Lord coming, it had a legitimate application in the first generation. It was just not prating words for them and just for us at the end of time. I don't disagree that there is going to be most likely this all consummate, just end time judgment where these prophecies are more greater fulfilled. I don't disagree with that. But I know they had an application then as well. And in Matthew 24, this is historically what happened during that time. So go to Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, referring to the end times, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We're going to see these things happen. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This persecution, rather than flooding out or choking up the spread of the gospel, is going to spread it that much faster like a fire through the forest. It will catch like fire, just like it did in Stephen's day when the persecution sprang up in Jerusalem and Stephen got killed, and that was the beginning of it. And then it spread all over the place in a moment. People just got scattered abroad and they got more bold than they ever were before because they saw how Stephen died. Just like we're getting more bold, just seeing some guys thrown in prison. Wait until one of us dies a martyr's death with the joy of the Lord and the power of God on our countenance. How much bolder will that make us? We won't have any more bondage through fear of death. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Let me tell you what happened historically. Historically, the Romans came to lay siege against Jerusalem. They were wiping out all of Judea, and I believe it was starting with the Gadarenes, that place that rejected God and told them to flee after he healed the demonized man. What happened is the Romans sent their army finally to Jerusalem. They laid siege to Jerusalem for a little time and for no apparent reason. I believe it was Titus. This Titus, I believe he was the son of another general in the Roman army. He fled from Jerusalem and went to Caesarea for no apparent reason. And there was a little tiny gap. And the Christians recognized this to be the fulfillment of this prophecy. And they fled. And they left Jerusalem. And they barely made it out. And then the Roman army came back and laid siege, burned up the temple, just like Jesus had said, and practically there was not a stone laid upon another stone. Jerusalem was demolished. There was fighting within and without, and Josephus said, never was there a judgment in the history of the world as it was in 68 to 70 AD with the Jews. Never has there been a judgment that's even comparable with what they went through, as Josephus, who was a Jew, said, the historian. Those that were watching, they saw the open door, and they fled Jerusalem, and they made it out of there alive. And everyone that didn't believe the prophecy, everyone that wasn't walking with the Spirit of God, and having the Spirit of God apply this prophecy to them within time, they stayed in Jerusalem. They all got wiped out. Okay? Famine. By the sword. By burning. By their own brethren. By cannibalism. It was so awful. By crucifixion. No mercy. women, children, or men that were left in there. It's just the Christians. They recognize the Christians that were going through such absolute terror in the book of Hebrews. And that's why the Lord said, this was the context. That's why the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 10, for ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Who was that? The Romans. God's chosen. Just like Nebuchadnezzar was God's chosen to Jeremiah to wipe out them back in that time. In Jeremiah's day, the Romans were God's chosen instrument. The wicked men which were his sword. And they were coming. The axe had already been laid at the root of the tree ever since the time of John the Baptist. Then Jesus was saying the same thing. It was so bad what was coming, brethren. Jesus knew he was going to be suffering on the cross. He knew he was going to face the wrath of God. And yet Jesus says, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. That's something to think about. That's how bad it was. Jesus said, don't worry about me. Worry about your own selves. Because he knew what was coming to them. And again, Josephus said it was the worst judgment in the history of the world. Finally, in Luke 21, at the very end, it's the same prophecy from a different angle. I like how the Lord ends this. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, verse 31, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, with overeating, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, and in the daytime. He was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple court to hear him. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. And I do believe there will be a more consummate, more wholesome fulfillment of these prophecies in the end of time, which very well might be in our time right now. But the way that it was fulfilled in Rome around 70 AD is just shocking earthquakes and volcanoes and wars and rumors of wars and suicides, famines, pestilences. I've only seen a glimpse of it. It's shocking the things that transpired between around 65 AD and 75 AD in Rome. And to think that there might be a greater fulfillment. Just astounding. So watch, brethren. Keep watching. Fight a good fight. Lord Jesus Christ. Please teach us to watch, O Lord. Please teach us, O God, to keep our eyes upon you and to follow you whithersoever you go, Lord God. With holiness and with uprightness, Lord God, and with quickness, Lord God. Please be with us, Lord God. Please prepare us against all the fires and the trials that are to come, Lord God. Help us, Lord, ever, Lord God, be walking in your spirit, praising your name, blessing your name, Lord, not fearing anything, even death, O God. Let us never be ashamed, Lord God, like you said, nor confounded. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed service, for these blessed brethren, Lord God, for all the brethren, Lord God, that are around this country, Lord God. Please watch over them, Lord, and bless them in their respective places, Lord God, and help them to be fruitful and just multiply righteousness, Lord. Multiply that seed of thy true gospel, Lord God, in thy spirit, wherever they be, Lord God. Just keep us in your name. Thank you, Lord. For Jesus' sake, we pray, Father. Bless your name. Amen.